Welcome to the Women in Sport and Exercise Academic Network podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jackie Forsyth, and also co-founder of the network. The purpose of the Women in Sport and Exercise Academic Network is to grow, strengthen, and promote research on women in sport and exercise, with the ultimate goal of optimizing women's athletic success and their participation. With these podcasts, we wish to bring you information from leading academics who are researching about women in sport and exercise and provide you with advice and support for the exercising female. Please remember our disclaimer that the opinions, content and recommendations contained within our podcast are for general information only and should not be substituted for medical advice, treatment or diagnosis. Podcast, Rachel Bullingham talks to Dr. Leanne Norman, who is a reader in sports coaching at Leeds Beckett University. They discuss gender equity in sports coaching, the current status of sports coaching for women, and the impact of media coverage. Leanne also gives her advice for the young coach just starting out. Leanne Norman is recognised internationally for her research work on gender equality and diversity in sports coaching and leadership. Her work is driven towards improving the participation, performance, and leadership pathways for diverse social groups, principally different groups of women. Leanne has written for academic and practitioner textbooks, produced educational resources for coaches, and has published widely in academic journals. She has led and acted as a research consultant on national and international projects funded by sport councils, governing bodies and charities. Leanne, as part of her impactful applied work, has supported organisations towards creating a diverse leadership and coaching workforce.
Okay, first of all, Leanne, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Can you give us a bit of a summary of some of the things that you're working on at the minute?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Rach. So the work that we lead here at Leeds Beckett, the programme that I lead, is focused on improving gender equity in sport coaching. And of course, how that then intersects with other identity markers. Of course, it's always important to have that purpose, that vision for the research. And we're working towards having a more balanced, equitable workforce where people can progress, they get into the workforce, they can progress and they can remain, and they have good experiences of being coaches as well. So the work that I'm doing at the moment primarily is actually with the English Football Association. We're doing a lot of work for them. The biggest thing that we're coming to the end of is a three-year project that we've split into themes with the broad purpose of tracking women coaches longitudinally over 3 years. The theme one is around individual coaches and their well-being as they progress through the 3 years. Theme two is working alongside coaches more at the elite end of the game, high performance end, that are in support programs like the Elite Mentee program and the National Specialist Coach program. And then theme three, we've had two phases of theme three. There's a lot of phases of themes. That has been working with the clubs in tier one and tier two of women's football, Super League and the Championship. And that is going into the clubs, speaking to general managers and head coaches about getting to grips with how they go about things in terms of recruitment, development of coaches, who drives those decisions, set the club up, trying to get more of a cultural feel and how that impacts the decisions they make, recruitment, and then how we can use that knowledge to feed back to the clubs and the FA in terms of what's happening at an organisational level to support more women coaches as well. So while the work broadly that we lead at Leeds Beckett is around improving gender equity, we do most of our work with focus on women because they are either underrepresented or have poorer experiences or progress or remain in the profession as much.
And obviously you've been working in women's coaching for a while. Have you seen a change in the coaching environment for women coaches?
Well, it's definitely getting better. It's a really good time in some sports, not all sports, still really good to be a woman and a coach right now, particularly, like, for example, with the English FA, they're very supportive in terms of resources, being very cognizant of some issues, and most importantly, being proactive. So it definitely is getting better. And when I speak to older women coaches, because there are issues that are worse for older women coaches, they say that it's changed radically in their time. So if you're young, if you're white, and you're non-disabled and you're a woman, it's a good time. And things are getting better. That is at a support level and a governing body level. I'd say the day-to-day job, some of the microaggressions that women experience, they're still going on. So they're not valuing their competencies, not seeing that they're equal as coaches, not valuing the skills and attributes they bring to coaching, the suspicions around them in terms of sexual orientation, the relationships with parents, because sometimes, and I heard it the other day, that I don't want my child coached by a woman. Those sorts of things are still going on. It is getting better, but there are far more microaggressions for women coaches in the sport they coach than there is for many men.
So in terms of the positive changes, what do you think has led to those, you know, positive changes in terms of the environment?
I think what's prompted these changes is seeing that women's sport generally is more marketable. It's got the consumer interest. So I think a lot of this is not jumping on the bandwagon because it's not a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, certainly the English FA, the work they're doing is certainly not knee-jerk, and it comes from the right place. It's driven by the head of women's football and the head of women's coaching, and that they want to do things better because they believe in the value of women. And that's really important to have that leadership and have those people within the organisation. There are some sports that are jumping on that wagon that we want to have a woman because it's seen to be good. But I think, you know, the greater interest more broadly, culturally, in women's sport is driving this. And on the negative side, we do find in some sports that the drive for more women coaches is often because underpinned by this belief that women coach women. So if we've got more female players and athletes, then we need more women coaches to coach them. We still have a lot of work to do to improve that access to the men's side of sport for women coaches. There's still this idea that women coach women, men coach men and women, but often as our female base grows, our participation grows, we still have this belief that women coach women, so we need more women in to coach them. So in that way, that's the slightly negative side. But I think having in an organisation, having somebody wanting to do, have the right reasons and the right values for getting more women in, that's been really important. And wanting to do it the right way and to do it that the changes stick. And that's certainly my experience working with some of the governing bodies I do, that you do have some really good people in there and they want to make it stick for the right reasons.
And so how do you think the coaching system in the UK needs to change to support female coaches more effectively?
I think we need to understand the value of women and the value of coaching. And we do know that broadly, but I think we need to look at that more of an individual level about what the value different people bring to coaching. And we need to change our idea of perhaps what we think coaching is. And like a matching exercise, where actually some of the things that we need in coaching, that more empathetic, that relational expertise, that emotional intelligence, that taking risks, those sorts of behaviours, that's what coaching is about. And changing our ideas about what we think of coaching and recruiting people that can give us those skills and competencies. Women are very good at those sorts of skills. In terms of getting more women into coaching, I don't think it's always an issue, certainly not in football. In fact, we have the other issue in football where we've got a really saturated market and we run a lot of qualification courses and licenses, etc. And that's great. And we're churning out a very big workforce, but with very little at the end of it. So we're finding that, particularly for women, half of the field is not open to them. So a lot of men's sport, they won't recruit women. Women are still seen as a risk. So they only have the opportunity to work in women's sports. So immediately the opportunities are less. So we've got a really saturated market. We've got a lot of men coming over into women's football in particular because it's hot topic, you know, and it's cool and it's, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. The game is growing. So the market is saturated. So I don't think we need to get more women in. I think it's about giving people those opportunities to coach after they've qualified and from the ground upwards. Give people the opportunity to build that experience and that integration in the game right from the bottom, and tool people up with that work experience, that experiential learning. Not observing, that's not experiential learning. Being involved in coaching, give people that experience, build people's CVs, build women's CVs, because women have to be above and beyond often what men bring to the table as coaches. So we have to tool women up. So certainly that's the case we're finding in football.
So do you think there is still a glass ceiling for female coaches?
I don't like this term glass ceiling. Actually, I find it a bit simplistic, I think. It's this idea that you get to a certain level and you can't get any higher. And of course, we do have women that get to the top. And often it's the glass ceiling analogy is like you don't see it until you get to that point where suddenly you find yourself blocked. So I've never been keen on this glass ceiling analogy. And I think in coaching, you do get this like bottleneck situation. There's also a concept from more of the business and management world. They talk about a labyrinth, and understanding coaching and the coaching career and journey as a labyrinth. So it's far more complex for women. It is. So I think women, there isn't this kind of blockage, this stopping of women. I don't think it's as overt as that. I don't think there's anyone saying you can't have this job because you're a woman. It's far more insidious than that, and it's far more covert, and these microaggressions that we talked about, it's far more like that. So I do think that the opportunities can be there, but they're limited for women, definitely. And it's more complex because many more women than men have those social expectations of being carers, and so they have to go in and out of their career, and I don't think coaching is very set up for that. So a lot of governing bodies don't have maternity policies or supporting coaches. A lot of coaches are volunteers, so they don't have the same contractual rights and employment rights, and the job security is much lower as well. So it's very hard to come in and out of that career.
In terms of women's sport generally, and both and for coaches as well, women have been getting a lot more media coverage recently. Do you think that is a help, or do you think that occasionally it can be a hindrance to get that amount of kind of spotlight on the sport?
I think if it's the right kind of coverage, it's great. So, I mean, the Change Your Game, hashtag Change the Game campaign from the BBC, that's certainly positive in many ways. It's seeing women in the way that they should be seen, playing, competing, leading. So I think if the coverage is right, then it can only be positive, and it can only be positive to have women more and more in the media and being seen, because ultimately we want to normalise this. We want it to be normal that we turn to the back pages or we go on BBC Sport or Sky Sports website and there is a female player or athlete in front of us. That's got to be normal. So I think if it's done in the right way, then it can only be a positive thing.
And if you give advice to a young female coach who's just starting out, what advice would you give them?
This is often a question I ask many coaches I work with and interview that are very high up and at the top end of the coaching tree. And the consensus seems to be that you have to go out and get your work experience. You have to be prepared to get your hands dirty, work at the very lowest levels, build up your CV, don't be afraid to take a job here or there. If you can, if you haven't got those commitments, go abroad. I was speaking to a coach the other day that had many more opportunities in the US. And because of that, she came back a much better coach to the UK and she had more experience on her CV. So go out. Don't always work at the high end of sport and don't think that that is the only area that you can work in. Work at the grassroots level and build up your experience in different teams. Just make yourself the best version of yourself that you can be as a coach. And don't stop knocking on doors. Be prepared to do stuff. Unfortunately, be prepared to do stuff for free in terms of working alongside other coaches. But you've got to put yourself out there and you've got to be proactive and you've got to be hungry to do it. And you know what? Maybe that's not a good, you know, it's maybe not so right that people have to do those sorts of things. But you have to tool yourself up.
And obviously, coaching generally is dominated by white men who are identify usually as heterosexual or don't mention anything to do with sexuality. How do you think that we broaden the coaching workforce, not just for women, but also kind of thinking about intersectionality?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a very homogenous workforce. They tend to look the same, and of course, we're probably going to then come up with the same ideas, same decisions, etc. So to broaden it generally, I think the governing bodies, the organisations, have to take far more responsibility and they have to be more proactive and they have to lead on this. It is not up to coaches to be always putting themselves forward and putting their hand up. We have to think outside of the box and we have to make it a value and a vision and a purpose and a mission of ourselves as a governing body, as an organisation, that we want to have different people around our table as coaches. That has to be a driving force as a governing body, as an organisation. It isn't something that's going to happen as a byproduct of something else. It has to be a driving purpose. So we have to think differently. This goes right back to thinking differently and having different values. Sometimes, not all the time, there's great work being done, but it is being more aware of this and not being so gender blind or race blind or colour blind in that way that we treat everyone the same. You know, best person for the job, we just treat everyone as the same. That's blindness, and you will ignore some of the systemic issues in that. So we have to go outside of our comfort zones and think differently. And in many cases, and make it our strategic aim to get different people in as coaches and think differently, recruit differently, coach, develop and educate people differently. It's huge. Change, that sort of organisational change, it's a long project and it's a process, it's not an outcome. But if we want to leverage that diversity to improve coaching, we want to improve as an organisation, we have to have that diversity of thought, and that comes from diversity of faith. So it is a really putting the responsibility back on those who are responsible for recruiting and developing coaches to think differently and to think outside of the box as well.
And do you think that is the change needs to happen further up then within the administration of the governing bodies?
Yeah. It has to be right from the top. You have to have that inclusive leadership. You have to have that consciousness right from the top. So the role of the leadership team, the chairperson, the board, whoever it is, that has to come from them. Yes, it has to have the commitment of the teams all the way through the organisation. Of course it does. But it has to be driven by the leadership of that organisation. Yes, it does. Which is going to be difficult because a lot of our governing bodies and a lot of our organisations are run by the groups that are reflected in our coaches. So we do have a lot of white individuals, including men and women, and we don't have a very high representation of people with disabilities, and we still have a lot more men on board, although that's getting better. But in terms of other diversity, when we speak to like boards, we say to them, you know, gender representation, oh, we're doing very well. When we talk about race and ethnicity, oh, well, we're not so good on that. So it's having that more of an intersection, more of a complex view on this, but also doing it in the right way, because these people who are driving our boards, on our boards, who are our leaders, we have to take people on the journey with us. We can't alienate people, we can't be angry and be negative about this. These people have brought us on this journey. So it's about how we take people on that journey to not be scared or afraid of having that organisational change, and understanding the benefits of having a diverse coaching workforce. And it goes beyond just the moral argument of we want more women in this case because, well, it's women's right to work and it's the right thing to do. Yes, it is. But it's actually understanding that the business case for diversity is very strong. So actually you will improve as an organisation. Your coaching will improve. You will get more people through the doors as participants. All of those benefits. We do have some big holes in our coaching workforce. We don't always have enough coaching. Employment's not often consistent. Holes like that we could plug very easily with more of a diverse workforce.
That's perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Rach. Thank you.